Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Friday Night Specials with Diane Lennox. Merry Christmas! Diane Lennox. We hope John from Africa will join us tonight, and we will be reading from Luke chapter 2 about the Christmas story. So get your book ready, Luke chapter 2. He might read from Matthew chapter 2 or Luke 2, he can tell you, but I will be reading in English from Luke chapter 2. Welcome to Friday Night Specials with Diane Lenning, and sometimes our co-host John joins us from Africa. We are coming to you live from the United States of America. We are so glad you are joining us at this time. Let's open in prayer like we have been, and hopefully some of you now are memorizing the Lord's Prayer as found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let's pray using our own words. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share with others around the world the good news of life-changing way to live that will be wonderful for many people, stepping from darkness into walking in the light. We pray, Lord, that you would bless each one as they celebrate the Christmas season with us. For those who are celebrating this as their first Christmas season, we hope they will enjoy what we have given and build upon it with some of their traditions that they might choose to do to remember the birth of Jesus Christ, which was God coming to earth in the flesh of Jesus to walk among us, show his powers and his greatness and his miracles that Jesus performed, and to give us new life through salvation, through the gift of salvation of your Son, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke 2, we're going to read the Christmas story from the Bible. And this is part of it. It's written in more than one place. And the different places that it's written, it just varies a little bit, adds to it, or talks about different parts of it. About this time, Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, decreed that a census should be taken throughout the nation. This census was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone was required to return to his ancestral home for this registration. And because Joseph was a member of the royal line, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, King David's ancient home, journeying there from the Galilean village of Nazareth. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, son. They wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, when shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep, suddenly an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright in the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened. The angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. How will you recognize him? You will find a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, they sang, and peace on earth for all those pleasing Him. When this great army of angels had returned again to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They ran to the village and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. Shepherds told everyone about what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story expressed astonishment, but Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and often thought about them. Then the shepherds went back again to their fields and flocks, praising God for the visit of the angels and because they had seen the child just as the angel had told them they would. 8 days later, at the baby's circumcision ceremony, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was even conceived. When the time came for Mary's purification offering at the temple, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child, his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For in these laws God had said, "If a woman's first child is a boy, he shall be dedicated to the Lord." At that time, Jesus' parents also offered their sacrifice of purification. Either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons was the legal requirement. That day, a man named Simeon, a Jerusalem resident, was in the temple. He was a good man, very devout, filled with the Holy Spirit, and constantly expecting the Messiah to come soon. For the Holy Spirit had revealed to him he would not die until he had seen him, God's anointed King. The Holy Spirit had impelled him to go to the temple that day. And so when Mary and Joseph arrived to present the baby Jesus to the Lord in obedience to the law, Simeon was there and took the child in his arms, praising God. "Lord," he said, "now I can die content, for I have seen him as you promised me I would. I have seen the Savior you have given to the world. He is the light that will shine upon the nations, and he will be the glory of your people, Israel." Joseph and Mary just stood there, marveling at what was being said about Jesus. Simeon blessed them, but then said to Mary, "A sword shall pierce your soul, for this child shall be rejected by many in Israel, and is their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy of many others, and the deepest thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed." Anna, a prophetess, was also there in the temple that day. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the Jewish tribe of Asher and was very old, for she had been a widow for 84 years following 7 years of marriage. She never left the temple but stayed there night and day, worshiping God by praying and often fasting. Came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she also began thanking God and telling everyone in Jerusalem who had been awaiting the coming of the Savior that the Messiah had finally arrived. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of God, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. Their child became strong, a strong, robust lad, and was known for wisdom beyond his years. And God poured out his blessing on him. When Jesus was 12 years old, He accompanied his parents to Jerusalem for the annual Passover festival, which they attended each year. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him the first day, for they assumed he was with friends among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him. He was in the temple, sitting among the teachers of law, discussing deep questions with them, and amazing everyone with his understanding and answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" "Yes, realized that I would be here at the temple, in my father's house." They didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored away all these things in her heart. So Jesus grew both tall and wise and was loved by God and man. Now, we could take a few ideas from this section of scripture that we've read. We can find some things that they did traditionally with the newborn. And the newborn boy was given a ceremony of circumcision, which was for health reasons. And it has proven to be helpful in many ways. And it was an act of obedience God for dedicating their child to the Lord. We can dedicate our children to God as well. We can dedicate them at any age. Say you don't become a Christian until you're older and maybe your kids are 10 or 12 or 14. You could still dedicate them to God at church. It's a good tradition, good ceremony to follow that Jesus has given. Best practice. It's a sign of showing God your sincerity for serving Him. Do you think of any other things you read here that could be used in your life as a ceremony? One of the things they mentioned about the lady in the temple, Anna, was that prayed in the temple or the church or sanctuary, some they call it, and some days she fasted and prayed, worshiped God. Somehow when we just drink water and juices and not eat, but yet dedicate a time aside to worship the Lord and give opportunity to commune with the Lord and for Him to let us His heart's desire. Well, sometimes He gives us great moments of vision or of an idea or feeling for what He may want us to do as our calling in life. We don't hear from God, we're not listening. So there are times we stop and take time to worship the Lord and listen. And listen for what God and the Holy Spirit will reveal to us individually. And God has revealed through Jesus a better way of living. The New Testament is different from the Old Testament. As God has said, He has found a better way under the New Testament for Christians to live. And Jesus became the lamb sacrifice whereby we could all be forgiveness of our sins and receive eternal salvation. as well as have conversations and access, direct access to the Father God. When our sins are forgiven and sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb sacrifice of Jesus, and He can look upon us and talk with us and worship Him, commune God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, my pastor said the other night that part of the meaning of Bethlehem has to do that it is bread, and Jesus was born there, I think, is no accident, because Jesus is like the bread of life. And the bread gives us daily food. We need daily bread in order to live and to grow. I would like to give you a few moments of enjoying the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and think of when Jesus was born, laying in a manger. Bethlehem, the city where Jesus was born. Now, in America, we have dozens of Christmas carols and holiday songs we sing, but there's a song called We Three Kings of Orient Are that tells about the wise men who traveled to see the baby Jesus. They followed the star. And I found out the other night that I can't sing along with the background music I have on here because then it delays my voice and they don't play together in a coordinated fashion. so I am forced to sing without background music. But I hope you will still enjoy the song, and perhaps if you can learn the song, you can add your music to it from whatever country you live and the kinds of instruments that you like to play, or drums. And sometimes people will do bells with it in some songs. This is We Three Kings of Orient Are. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, see never over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God Most High. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breath of life, breeze of life, of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone called tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, to him replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Guide us to thy perfect light. Praise the name of the Lord. Back there on that one where I said breaths or breathes, you can say it both ways, and it depends on the context of what it's written in. It says, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume. I think it's probably breeze of life, of gathering gloom. Breeze of life, of gathering gloom. Although breaths of life, of gathering gloom might fit too. That's why I sang it both ways. I think technically it'd be better with breathes of life, of gathering gloom. I know sometimes when you're learning English, we have a lot of words that are difficult to learn. That is spelled the same way, but pronounced differently in the context of a sentence. And we have many homonyms. Homonyms are words which are spelled the same, but are pronounced differently and have a different meaning in the context of a sentence. So that's one of the difficult things about English that makes it kind of hard to learn. Okay, well, I have a story from my evangel that I have read from this last month that I've told some of you about. But before we do that, let's listen to another Christmas carol, and I want to try to get one with the words so that you can hear the songs, because all these Christmas carols I play you, even if they don't have words on this music, there is words to all of the Christmas songs. Here's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's enjoy that together. I'm going to read from the Evangel, which is a newsletter sent out weekly that you can get if you would like to receive that. Email this address, pe@ag.org. You can email that, pe@ag.org, and request for the Evangel newsletter. And you'd have to give them your address so they could send it to you. There is also a website that you could look up. It's www.pe.ag.org. Again, that's www.pe.ag.org. I read some other articles from this newsletter in the last month, and these are all Christmas items I've been reading. This one is a personal story of a lady. It's called Christmas Joy in Times of Grief by Barbara Beckstrand. Now, Christmas has a lot of happy memories for many people. But for some people, it has some sad memories. And I read the other day of a lady friend who lost her father on Christmas Eve. So every Christmas Eve, it's kind of a mixed blessing in sharing the memories of her father who has passed and those of Jesus. There are ways that you can get through these times. God doesn't promise that we won't have difficult times. He promises that He will help us through them. So in this story, started in late 1975, just before Thanksgiving, Barbara Beckstrand lost her 14-year-old daughter in a tragic accident. Weeks later, her husband passed away at age 39. In the years that followed, Beckstrand married a pastor and served God faithfully as a pastor's wife, church leader, and Sunday school teacher. And she has spoken at different times around the country. And she shares in this article about dealing with grief during the holiday season and finding hope in the Lord to endure despite tragedy. And she did an interview with editor James Meredith, and he asked her some questions. So when I asked these questions, it was editor James Meredith who's asking Barbara these questions. First, he asked her to describe the tragic experiences you endured around Christmas time in 1975. Christmas time, 1975. I was not prepared for the death of my 14-year-old daughter, Julie. She had attended the midweek service at our church, Findlay Assembly of God, in Findlay, North Dakota. On her way home, she fell on a slippery sidewalk. As a result of the fall, she died instantly of a broken neck. This accident occurred November 13, about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. At that time, my husband, Harley, was not well. He had a rare heart condition and had undergone open heart surgery a few months before Julie's death. The shock of losing Julie was very hard on Harley. He went through this difficult time together with me, and he was there for me at Thanksgiving and Christmas. But on New Year's Day, about 6 weeks after Julie's death, Harley had a stroke. He died on January 4th, 1976. I became a widow at 37 years of age. Well, what was Christmas like that first year and years following? The first Christmas was so very hard. Julie's favorite time of the year was Christmas. She was always so excited to put up the tree and decorations. Her birthday was on December 11th, and she would celebrate by inviting her friends for an overnight party. So it seemed for me that all the joy and happiness that she had brought into our home was gone. The next Christmas again was very hard, and that was the first Christmas I did not have my husband with me. How did God help you through that first holiday and in the days to come? Now, the answer to this question might be helpful. Some of you who have gone through difficult times and you're missing some of your family. Barbara says, Christmas was always a very busy time for me. I was an elementary teacher, so I had many responsibilities and activities at school as well as at church. I'm so thankful for the students, teachers, and friends at school and church who were so good for me. I'm also thankful for our foster daughter, Jane, who was 17 years old at the time. What a blessing, comfort, and help she was for me. When I was at school, I was busy, and things were the same as before. But when I got home, I had to face the reality of my loss. I depended heavily on God's word for comfort and strength. The night Julie died, I was reading in my Bible, and it seemed as if some of the verses jumped off the pages in bold type. They were promises from God that would help me greatly in the days to come. You never know when what you read might help you later. Later, I wrote many of the verses God gave me on index cards and placed them throughout the house, dwell on or memorize. One of my favorite verses is found in Matthew 6:34. It says, "Don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow, too. Live one day at a time." I found a lot of comfort in the Psalms, as well as the promises found in the book of Philippians. Many friends came to visit, prayed with me, and called me. The Holy Spirit was my comforter. I've talked about the Holy Spirit being our comforter. The Lord was my strength. I had many fears, and I felt so weak. There were sleepless nights, loss of weight, and lonely and frustrating times. But I depended on the Lord to help me through each day. I enjoyed records and tapes of favorite songs, Christian radio, and helpful books. I knew it wouldn't be good for me to stay home a lot, so I kept busy, visited friends and relatives, and attended many local school activities. I also had my parents living close by. It's good to spend some time with your family and others during difficult times. As well as my sister and her family and my husband's brothers and their families. My family was a wonderful help and support to me. When a person is grieving a loss, it's important to keep busy. This is especially true during the holiday season, when there is so much going on and when feelings of loneliness and depression are already heightened for a lot of people. So there's something you can do. I know in our state, California, in America, many organizations serve the Thanksgiving and Christmas meal that's special, of better food than they might serve the rest of the year. And they always need someone to help serve those. And so they need an extra person or two once in a while to come help. Perhaps you could do something like that. And if there's no one in your town who does that, you might prepare a big, large pot of soup or stew or something that you could serve to a lot of people and just have them come over and have something to eat and spend time together socializing and read the Bible story and pray for one another and just spend good time together. You went on to enjoy decades of fruitful ministry as a pastor's wife and leader in the church. Talk about what you overcame and how you worked through grief. And she answers, Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's a verse my dad used to quote. I'm going to say it again. Psalm 30 verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It might not be the next morning, but it symbolically speaks too, that in your morning, your day after, so to speak, your joy will come. That verse became very real for me, she says. About 3 years after my husband died, I was remarried to a pastor friend who had lost his wife. Same year my husband died. He had a family of 6 children, and one of his daughters was married with 2 children. So I became an instant grandmother. We had a very full and wonderful life together, with family and ministry. Floyd was in ministry for 54 years, and I was privileged to be with him for almost 30 of those years. Our lives were filled with many times together, and with children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Christmas is a time of great joy and happiness as we gather together to celebrate, share testimonies and scriptures, and thank the Lord for the bountiful blessing He has given us as a family. Floyd went to his heavenly home in 2007 and is missed so much by all of us. What would you say to someone facing his or her first Christmas without a loved one? Is this your first Christmas without a loved one? Your first year? First month? First week? birthday. Just recently lost a loved one. Listen to what Barbara said. The first Christmas after losing a loved one is especially hard, but our lives must go on. It is good to change some of the usual holiday traditions the first year or two. I had a hard time even thinking about putting up a Christmas tree and the other usual decorations the first year. So I kept it simple. As a grieving person, you must allow for feelings of joy. Try not to feel guilty if you find yourself enjoying the holidays. Having a good time does not mean that you've forgotten your loved one. Remember, too, that we heal as we reach out to others. Inviting other friends who have lost a loved one to join you in observing the holiday festivities can encourage you both. Being surrounded and supported by family and friends is very important. Recalling past holidays with loved ones we've lost can be difficult, but should not be ignored. Sharing these memories with others can bring healing for everyone. So we're looking for ways to bring healing. Above all, when tragedy comes, it's critical to commit ourselves to placing our family and our hope firmly in the Lord. One whose birth we celebrate at Christmas is also the one who will walk with us through our darkest hours. But we must place our trust in Him. If you would like to email comments about that or get this newsletter, you can email to pe@ag.org and request the newsletter called Evangel, and they will mail that to you. They do appreciate donations, but you are not required to pay for it if you don't have the funds. But let them know what you would like to do. Here is the price they usually want you to pay. Let's see, this is a half-price sale right now where you can order any Pentecostal Evangel bound volume from 1997 through 2010 for $14.95 each. That's $14.95 each. That's a whole book of bound volumes. It's probably, I would think, a year, maybe a year's worth. Usually they bind them by year. So you might get a whole year's worth of newsletters for $14.95. And that's 50-some in a year because they're weekly. So that's 50-some newsletters for $15. That's a savings of up to 50%. You can call this toll-free number, 1-800-641-4310. Again, that toll-free number is 1-800-641-4310. And that's to order any of the back years of Evangel that they have bound, probably, yeah, by year. And you can just pick any year if you want. They're probably all good. And if they're out of one, maybe order another year. And you could have plenty of reading of these good, wonderful type stories of encouragement that help you in your daily living. You might not have many Christian friends around you, or maybe you haven't been Christians long enough to know any stories of older Christians who can tell you how they got through difficult times. That's what's so valuable about being in a church and having Christian friends, is that when you go through a difficult circumstance, someone else will undoubtedly have a word of wisdom to share with you that helped them get through it, that very well may help you get through a similar circumstance. Well, I'm going to attempt to sing one more song a little later, but I need to rest my voice. If it's not hanging together here, I might not, because I do want to pray with you too, but I do have another carol we can play. Bring a Torch, Jeanette. Isabella, Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella, and it has beautiful songs with words. Let's enjoy that one, and I'll be right back with you. Stay tuned. I'll be back. Thank you. time, we are setting aside for those of you who would like to receive the Lord as your Savior. You can become a part of God's family right now by just simply saying this prayer with me. It is God's best gift. There is no way you can buy it. All you have to do is receive it and ask God for forgiveness of your sins and believe that He is the Christ. For it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In John 1:2, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God." In John 3:3, Jesus said, "You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven." Romans 5:8, "But God proves His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." In Isaiah 53:4 and 5, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." In 1 Peter 2:24 it says, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed." Praise the name of the Lord. And in Romans 10:9-10, it says, "The word is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." Let's bow our heads and pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I am separated from You. I believe that Christ died on the cross and shed His blood for my sins. And I receive Your forgiveness. Say this prayer with me. I'm willing to turn from my way and walk in Your way. I want to step from walking in darkness to walking in the light. I believe that You are the Son of the living God. I confess my sins, and I ask, Lord, and invite You into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive the Holy Spirit as Your gift, as a guide to us when You are here on earth, Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit as my guide and friend and comforter. And I will follow and obey You as the Lord of my life all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have been enjoying Christmas time with my family, so I haven't been able to do as much on the radio as I had hoped. Plus, this year, this month, I finished law school. So I hopefully will do a little better on the programs next year and improve them a little bit. I hope I'll have time to do that. But during this holiday season, I have been eating some foods I'm allergic to, and I've been taking more allergy pills. But because of that, I haven't been able to sing very well, and my voice is giving out, and so I'm not going to be able to sing "O Holy Night." But, you know, it's a beautiful song. I'll try to sing it next year. That way, you'll hear some different songs, and it won't be the same ones every year. So let me write a note here to sing this in Christmas 2013. I'm so glad you're a part of God's family now. And you know what? The angels in heaven sing each time new individuals have joined God's family because they're so joyous over the fact that you have received the Lord. It's a personal choice. God is a gentleman. He doesn't force it upon you. He tries to let you know how wonderful he is, but it's your choice. So let's just listen to Joy to the World. I don't have the words to this, but perhaps you can hear the words in it. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And imagine those words with it. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I have found that I can't sing along or say the words along because then my voice is delayed after the music is played, so it's not in sync. Well, I sure would love to sing along with that music, and I don't know how to do that yet. So it's either singing a cappella with that background music, or sometimes I could just do the drums, and it kind of is okay. But I can't sing with the background music like that because it doesn't work, unfortunately. But I hope you enjoyed the music. It is lovely, isn't it? Well, we thank you for this time together. I'm going to be praying for you right now at the end as we say goodnight because it's important that we love one another and pray one with another. For where two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, he is in our midst. Jesus is here with us now. So let's pray together. Pray one for another. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for each one who is listening. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided them the ability to hear good news. And we pray that you would be with them as they are on their walk, walking in the light. And that you will help them to drop their old ways of things that may not be God. Continue doing the good things they did, may have done before. And that they will know the difference between what is good and helpful to others and what is not. We'll give each one spirit of love and kindness so they can go out and love others. So God love the rest of the world, for we are God's in extent to others, as Jesus, when he was crucified and arose again, went back to heaven to be with God. So now we are God's representative on earth. Lord, we pray you will help us all to be your representative, that your glory may be known to us, your miracles may be worked to us. Lord, we hear their wonderful stories, people in Eastern Hemisphere who have come to know the Lord, and that you are performing miracles among them. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for that. We pray that you will continue to meet their need and to perform their miracles and show your power and glory among the people of the world so that they will worship you and know true living God and know and witness the reality of God. We pray, Lord, as you prepare us for your return, for the bride, for God's church to be ready, that our wicks will be trimmed, and that we will be all cleansed and pure, and our gowns cleansed, white and iron, so to speak, symbolically, so that we're all together in the way that you would have us, Lord. One spirit, one mind, and one accord. Lord, we pray for those who have differences of opinion and doctrine, Lord, that you would help them to not allow that to cause division among Christians, but help us to focus on the most important thing, that we serve you as our Savior, that we love one another, that when we have differences, we don't just quit being with them or quit talking to them, we pray for them. We want to continue being with them so that hopefully those things can be worked out. We praise you and thank you for continued blessing and protection. Pray you protect around each of us. Our guardian angels and your army of angels will come before us and go against the enemy to protect our rear and side, Lord. We'll protect us all around us. Protect our minds, the helmet of salvation. Help us, Lord, to be ready in whatever position you want us to take and to be for you, for your glory, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. In the precious name of Jesus, the Messiah, who will return again soon on the Mount of Olives. We look forward to that day. Thank you for it. Amen. Praise your name. Praise you, Holy One. Praise you, Almighty God. We worship you. Well, as you know, God loves you, and I love you, and our co-hosts love you. So we look forward to being with you again next time. So goodbye for now. We will be with you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.